is a woman in the Murraylands staging a silent protest this month outside the federal member Tony Passon's office in Murray Bridge. Dawn Matthews has been displaying signs about the erosion of the National Disability Insurance Scheme, the NDIS. She's encouraging others to come and show support and have a chat with her as well. She joins me on the line now. Welcome, Dawn.
Hello and good morning, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So it's quite a big commitment going down there every day, but what's motivated you to stage this protest?
Oh, I think it definitely the motivation comes from the non-services from NDIS. That's what motivates me. And also a little girl named Patience who's 12 years old and she's my grandniece.
And you're her guardian, I understand, so you've been...
I am. I'm her child rep, and she has a very rare genetic disability, and it's called Palestinian syndrome. So it's a very rare syndrome, but it's a disability that needs 24-hour care.
Wow. Right. And so, you know, having utilised the NDIS over the years, what have you noticed about the way it's changed?
Well, I suppose the biggest thing that's changed is that when my sister was alive looking after her granddaughter, that what we did is we set up that our family members would train to become personal care workers because my sister wasn't happy with the different workers that she got. And for 6 months, she actually stopped having people come to her house. So I had to talk her into starting that back up. That was when she was up in Port Augusta and I was living in Queensland. So my daughter and her partner and my sister-in-law all went and got trained so that they could be personal carers to patients.
I've spoken to Mark Kalinske from Community Living Australia, a non-for-profit organisation that helps people navigate through the NDIS. He says he's concerned about the way in which the NDIA is now not providing as much funding to certain people so they can't afford to, you know, stay at home. They get to get back their families back to help them. Is that the sort of experience you're having? Is it getting harder and harder to get support for certain things?
Well, I think that the hardest part is if loved ones are looking after, you know, the ones that you love, that they should also be able to be employed. And so one of the things that that I've been sort of fighting against NDIS is that the hours that that they work. Now, before when they were working for my sister, they were on 6 hours a day that they worked for my sister. And, of course, she's passed away now. So when that happened, all of a sudden, there was another, you know, 18 hours that needed to be accounted for. So, you know, I said, would they consider, you know, putting up the hours because the girls are working 24 hours and getting paid basically 6 hours. So that's been a struggle in itself. But they continue to look after patients knowing that at the end of the day, she's family. But, you know, I think that my biggest argument has always been that they shouldn't stop families from being trained to look after their own.
Have you heard many stories of other people who are in a similar position or in a different position but are impacted by the NDIS?
Most of the stories I've heard are that people are fighting for services. That's what the stories that I've heard. There was, you know, a family that came here yesterday and their story was, you know, we had to wait for 2.5 years. And I know that it isn't easy to get onto NDIS, but of course now with the erosion of it and people losing that funding, you know, it's very difficult now for families to get that support. But I think that one of the issues that I had is that it's top heavy, that all the funding goes into administration. So if they flipped it on its head, therefore let the money go to the clients and filter it down to admin. It's up the wrong way.
Now, Dawn Matthews is with me. She's been sitting outside Tony Passon's electorate office this month in the lead up to the federal election, calling for more support for the NDIS. Have you had any response from Tony Passon?
Actually, his advisor, she did come out when I did my first protest and asked if I wanted to speak to Tony because he's not here anyway. And I said to her, no, look, I don't want to speak to Tony. only because if he had any clout whatsoever, he would be speaking to Senator Reynolds. And I've had that much emails to Senator Reynolds, and my emails that I've sent back to her, well, they haven't been all that nice, I can tell you, but really just addressing that I don't appreciate getting emails that say that, you know, we will get back to you if this hasn't been sorted out within 21 days. Well, don't make me laugh. We all know what's going to happen after 21 days, and I think it's like a fair few people that you'll get services if we get in. So that tells you where they're at. In saying that, though, I do like the guy, so I can't say anything wrong against him.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good time to be doing this because it is in the lead up to the federal election. It seems like you're getting quite a lot of attention at the moment.
Well, I've got, look, honestly, I've got that many people that are supportive. And I mean, I just had a taxi driver come up and he just said to me, oh, you're famous. And I said, beg your pardon? You're famous. I heard you this morning on the radio. I said, oh. And he said, so I've come to get you a copy. Well, he did.
Oh, that's nice.
He got a call and he said, I'll come back. I've just got a call out. I said, oh, no, you better go and do that call out because that's what's going to pay for my coffee. And he laughed and he did. He brought it back in about 20 minutes later after he'd done his run. So to that taxi driver, thank you very much. I didn't even get his name because he just came in and gave it and off he went.
Oh, that's nice. So, yeah, you're calling for people to show a bit of solidarity and come and have a chat?
Yeah, well, that's all it is. And, I mean, before you rung, I was talking to Michael and he was, for 30 years he's been a carer. And he said, you know, that, you know, some of the stuff that he was looking at, He spoke a lot of sense, and I said, well, you know, Michael, you know, you've been a carer for 30 years. I think that you're more professional in what you're talking about than people that have been for only 4 or 8 years in Parliament. Maybe they need to talk to you.
Well, it also seems, Dawn, as though you're making quite a sacrifice to be there every day because you have a number of roles in the community, I understand.
I do have a lot of roles in the community, and also, I've got 5 grandchildren at home that come every holiday.
Right.
So,
yes.
Time with me.
Oh, so
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm sure, missing the opportunity to spend time with them. Oh, I'm really sorry
they
to hear that.
They wanted to protest with me, but I said, no, I can't have children up here.
Mm.
But, yeah, that's probably the hardest thing. But I do this for them.
Yeah.
To know that, you know, you stand up against things if you don't think it's right. And I don't think it's right how people are being treated.
Yeah. Are you able to tell us a little bit about some of the other community roles you have?
On Tuesday night, we pick up about 100 loaves of bread. Wednesday, that bread is put out and it goes within a half an hour. On Thursday, we do the same as Tuesday. And Wednesday night, I forgot to tell you that on Wednesday night, I cook for up to 60 people. We do a dinner for the families of men and young people. We set up a rugby league. It's called the Black Swans, and we're very proud that when we started, we were talking the other night, it only started out with 9 guys, and now there's about 40.
Oh, right.
And we have a group of under 16 young boys and a group of under 16 girls. And next week, our girls go into the finals. So while this has all been happening, every week I pack food for the bus to take for all the kids so that none of them have to go without any lunch or afternoon tea, those ones that can't afford it. And this is all done by our community. It is not done by anyone else but the people that want to serve, you know, young people, keep them off the streets and keep them on the straight and narrow,
oh,
if that's
great.
The word to say. So, yeah, it's pretty full on.
Yeah.
So I suppose that for me coming up here, it's also a time of reflection.
Mm. It is nice to reflect sometimes and think about the things when your life is usually pretty hectic. So we encourage you to go and have a chat with Dawn if you've got any stories to tell or want to find out more from her about her experience with the NDIS. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank
I really appreciate
you very
it.
Much. Thank you.